Open up your Bibles tonight to 1 Corinthians. We're going to be coming out of 1 Corinthians tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Amen. We're going to be talking about the Apostle Paul tonight. And man, I've just been reading through my Bible, and I guess one of my favorite, you know how you get your favorite books in the Bible? You know, and we get these favorite books and all. But you know, sometimes that changes. Sometimes I'll be reading one Bible and that in my, or one book, and that may really be speaking to me. And then I go over to another epistle, and guess what? That one's really speaking to me. And the one that's speaking to me the most at that time is my favorite one. Amen. That's my favorite one at that time. So praise God. So right now, I've just been studying the book of Corinthians. I started studying Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and just going through it. And I want to tell you, if you really want to get an understanding of the Bible, if you're not a good Bible study student and you want to get an understanding of the Bible, then pick you out a book and start studying that book. Read the introduction. Find your Bible that's got an introduction to that book that tells you something about that book, tells you something about the cities, tells you something about the peoples. And then just go in and start studying that book. Read through that book. And then also take your cross references that you got and get you a Bible. I'm just kind of going off on a side note here to help people study. But if you'll get your Bible, it's got some good cross references, okay? Get you a Bible that's got you some good commentary notes. And just because it's got commentary notes, please understand this, church, just because commentary notes are in the Bible doesn't mean that they're always right, okay? Because we still got to trust in the Holy Ghost, all right? Get you a good concordance, amen? And get those stuff, and then study, and go through, and just read and study a Bible. Get you a church history book, you know, things like that, and go through and study. And I guarantee you, people say that when they read the Bible, they don't understand it. But if you'll spend time studying God's Word, you'll understand it. You'll understand it. Amen. Listen, I know some of the jobs that some of the people in here got. I know some of the things that they do. So hey, we're surrounded by smart people. Amen. If you can raise a kid, you can understand the Bible. Amen. Anybody in here raised any kids? Some of us still raising kids. Amen. Some of us need to start raising kids. I ain't going to say Jacoby's name out loud. And Bailey, amen. You know, I never thought I'd have to face today that my praise and worship leader one-up me. Come on now. Amen. Amen. She's all, man, all swelled up with pride and all that stuff. Now, because she got a grandbaby. That's all right. I guess I can get one when I turn 50. Really? What? What is it? Sharon's husband said, it's good. It's good. So we're going to get into it now. Open your Bibles up, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I love the way Paul, man, this epistle, man, Paul just lays it out. And like I said, I'd really like to go all the way through Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, because I think it is such clear direction to the church. I really do. And really, I like Corinthians, because Paul, man, I don't know if this was kind of like early in Paul's epistle career, but man, he just right to the point. You know what I mean? I just love the book of Corinthians. So let's start out 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That's my introduction. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, and Sothenus, our brother. Now, I love that because Paul, he makes it very, very clear. And today, see, I believe that the reason today that we got so many things going on out there is because there's many, many people that are trying to do the work of God that really ain't called to do the work of God. Amen? And when I say that, I'm not, let me rephrase that. I didn't say that the right way. I think y'all know what I meant. We're all called to do the work of God, okay? But not everybody's called to the fivefold ministry, amen, whether it be apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, or whatever it is. But Paul makes it very, very clear, and I love the boldness and I love the authority that he's speaking with here, because he says, Paul, I mean, he's the one writing this letter, and he says, Paul, called to be an apostle. That's what he was called to do. There is no doubt in Paul's heart of what he was called to do. Amen. There's absolutely no doubt. That is settled in him that this is what he was called to do. That's like me. I know what I'm called to do. My main call is I'm called to be an evangelist. That's why when I get up inside a prison, when I get up inside one of these places or somewhere, man, I turn into a different person. You know what I mean? I turn, when I get in front of a bunch of people that I know that may not know the Lord, I'm in front I don't know, it's just weird, but it's like a different spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, but a whole different anointing comes upon me. You know what I mean? Because I know, and I do, Pastor, but I know my beacon call, my bright call. I know this beyond the shadow of a doubt is an evangelist. And that's why every one of my messages, that's why when I preach the word, that's why I see much, that's why I see so much in it. Law, and then the preaching of the gospel. You know why? Because that's the office that I'm in. And the office that God has got me in, that main office. So when God shows me his word, I'm going to see it in the law, and I'm going to see in there somehow bringing people to Christ. Amen? Now, if you got a teacher that's standing up here, they're going to see something in it teaching you and things on how to walk and be sanctified. See, these offices, these different offices that we got, which is the prophet, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, each one of those offices is going to bring the word in a little different way because that's the office that they're in. You see what I'm saying? It's just like if you walk into an office somewhere and one person's doing this job and one person's doing this job, they're going to do their job a little bit different in order to reach the same goal. You can go to an office and have an engineer over here, and you can go into the same company doing the same thing, and you can have, I don't know, a secretary over here, and they're both working toward the same goal in order to reach an accomplishment, but they got two different positions in order so that everything can be done. Could you imagine if you was building airplanes, but you only had one group of people in there that could only do one thing? You wouldn't want to fly that airplane. And that's what we got to grab in our mind and wrap around as the church, amen? That as a church today, that we have got different offices, different roles, we got different parts that people are to play, amen? And God has done that so the full work can be done in order to accomplish what he wants to be accomplished in this world. Amen. So we've all got different offices. Now, those offices at times, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, at times those do cross over because God can use you to be whatever he needs you to be at that time. Amen. But when it boils down to it, you look at somebody, my beacon call is going to be that in the office of an evangelist. Amen. And I know that, and I'm comfortable in that. And that's what drives me. It's the Spirit of God that drives me. It's looking for that next soul. It's looking for that next person to reach. It's looking for that next person that might come to Christ. And Paul right here, he's saying right here, Paul, he is saying with no doubt that he is called to be an apostle. There is no doubt in my mind that I'm called to be an evangelist. There is no doubt in my mind. You set me in front of somebody that don't know Jesus. You set me in front of somebody that needs prayer. You set me in front of somebody. There is no doubt in my mind that that is my anointing. That is what God has called me to do. That is my office. That's where I flow. That's where I'm supposed to be. That's where I feel at home. That's where I move the best. That's where everything just falls into place like gears and just goes together. Amen. And it's now in that office also, you come with a lot of scrutiny and a lot of people, you know, getting mad, getting angry, or whatever it may be. But if we teach the truth of God's word, then that's going to come with every office. Amen. And it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ. Amen. It says, through the will of God. See, it's through the will of God that Paul was called, not through the will of man, because no man. See, we got too many people today that are running around giving false prophecies, and I'm going to show y'all that here in a second. Amen. We got too many people that are running around today that say, well, so-and-so was called, and so-and-so was called, and so-and-so was called. But you know what? They're saying so-and-so was called because a man said they was called, but God never said they was called. Amen. Huge difference there. And just because a man says that somebody's called and you get an emotional tingling about it does not mean that that's God that's calling them. And let me tell you something else, church, and I want you to understand this, amen, that many, many times, well, I ain't going to go there yet. All right, I'll get there in a minute. Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. What does that word will mean? Through the will of God? That through the will of God means by the appointment of God alone. Through the will, that it was God that appointed Paul to be an apostle. Nobody else. It wasn't the Pharisees. It wasn't the Sanhedrin. It wasn't the Sadducees. It was God. God come to Paul himself, slapped him off of that horse. He sent him over on Straight Street. And then he said, he'll suffer. He'll see how much he's got to suffer for my name's sake. Amen. It was God that called Paul. And just because a man says that you are called to do something does not mean that it was God speaking through that man. We have got to learn to discern that, and we have got to learn to understand that, church. Amen. Now, many, many times we'll grab a hold, and they're, well, I ain't going to go there yet either. Yeah. through the will of God. And what does will mean? What one wishes or has determined shall be done of what God wishes to be done by us. So what is God's will? God's will is what he wishes to be done by us in order to bring glory to him. Does that make sense? That's what God's will is. It is God's will that we obey him. Why? Because it brings glory to him. It is God's will that we go out and tell others about Jesus. Why? Because it glorifies what Jesus Christ done at the cross of Calvary by shedding his blood for the lost sinner. Amen. It is God's will that we grow in Christ. Why? So that we can become the example to younger believers. It is God's will that the women grow in Christ. Why? So that they can become examples to the younger women and the men can become examples to the younger men. It is God's will that we grow in the knowledge of God. And I'm going to show that here in a second. But it is God's will, amen, that you and I all function in the area that he wants us to function in. Amen. And so it says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. It was God that called him. Man can't call you. Seminary school can't call you. Genealogy does not call you. Only God can call a man to preach the gospel. Man can confirm what God has said. Amen. Now there's a big, now listen to me. Just because you got a certificate on the wall, just because somebody's got a doctrine's degree, or just because somebody's got a master's degree, doesn't mean that they're called to preach the gospel. Just because somebody's been to seminary school doesn't mean that they're called to preach the gospel. Just because somebody has went through and learned how to do many, many things and learned the proper way to speak and learned the proper way to give a 3-point sermon doesn't mean that they're called to preach the gospel, people. It does not. Man cannot call you. Seminary cannot call you. And just because your dad or your mom or your granddaddy or somebody was a preacher, genealogy does not call you. It is only God that calls people to preach the gospel. God and God alone. And it is only God that can give the man the anointing that he needs in order to break through the crusty layers of a man's heart, in order to penetrate the darkest heart with the brightest light of the gospel that there is. Only God can do that. Only God can put that call. You and I do not have the ability to distribute the anointing, because we are not the giver of the anointing. Jesus Christ is the one that baptizes in the Holy Ghost, not any man. We're nothing more than a vessel. But it's God that pours his spirit out upon man. And he says, let's go on here. Paul took this calling very, very serious. It seems as if he had read Jeremiah 23. Let's look at Jeremiah. I'm going to turn to Jeremiah 23 real quick. Now listen, what Paul says is Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. Now, I want to read to you, and I want y'all to tell me if it sounds like anything's going on today in the body of Christ or in the world. I can't say the body of Christ. Amen. Now, I'm not going to read all of Jeremiah 23 to you, but Paul was a student of the word. So I bet when Paul says that I was called through the will of God, I bet you somewhere he had went back and read this in Jeremiah and seen in Jeremiah 23 where God said, these prophets have went out, but they've not been sent by me. And we see that happening all the time today. People have, oh, look at prophet so-and-so. And people fall for it. Let's start out in chapter 23, verse 11. For both prophet and priest are profane. Yes, in my house I have found their wickedness. He's saying in the house. In other words, in my house I have found their wickedness. What is he saying? He's saying the people that would come to the temple and prophesy. And there's people that come into the church house today and they prophesy. In other words, they speak these big swelling words over people in the house of the Lord, but it is not God doing it. They come into the house and do it. Y'all with me? Amen. And he says, yes, in my house I have found their wickedness, says the Lord. Let's go to verse 13. And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied by Baal and caused my people, Israel, to err. Also, I've seen a horrible thing in the prophets of Jerusalem. They commit adultery and walk in lies. They also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. Let me tell you one of the ways that you know somebody's not a full prophet. If in their so-called prophet words that they're speaking does not tell somebody to turn from wickedness, you better not listen to them. And we have that all the time today. People just go up and start speaking these words over people and speaking words over people and speaking. And here's the deal. Most of those people that call it, and I'm not saying all, there are some true prophets out there, okay? I'm not saying all, but most of those people that come up, you're going to see that their words are vague, and many, many times, it's if you listen, it's the same thing that you've heard somewhere else, and it's so vague that anybody's life could fall into that area. You know what I'm talking about? That anybody's life. Now, I've had some people, man, I just had a man speaking over me the other day, and I was like, no. I just cut him off right there. He starts being, he said, God's got books on the inside of you. I said, it better be God, because I ain't got no desire to write a book. And God ain't told me that. And usually when somebody comes and speaks a word over you, the Spirit bears witness. In other words, it's going to confirm what God's already been speaking to you. Amen? Or it's going to ignite something. Amen? Now let's look here. Let's just read this. He says, they also strengthen the hands of evildoers. In other words, what does it mean to strengthen a hand? To strengthen makes something stronger. They tell them they're okay in their sin. Do we hear that going on in the church today? All right, listen, do we hear that these prophets, and this can be an evangelist, whatever it is, but going out and not telling, letting people think, they may not even tell them they're okay, but letting them think that they're okay in their sin. All right. And God says, no, this is not one that I've sent. God is not going to send somebody that does not confront the issues in life that he confronts in the Word of God. He's not going to do it. Why? Because the Bible says that God is even bound by his own word. And he is a God that shall not lie. And if he was to do something contrary to his word, then he's not bound by it. And that means he's a God of lies. Are you with me or are you not? Amen. So when we look at this, he says, they also strengthen hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. Do we see that happening today? Do we see people standing up in the church today, standing behind a pulpit and saying things like, well, we don't talk about sin. We don't have to confront them about their sin. We leave that up to the Holy Spirit. I seen a guy getting interviewed. It was a pastor of a big church up in New York, and they got another church over in Australia or wherever it is. And they asked him, they said, I think the question that they asked him, they said, do you think abortion is wrong? I think that was the question. I can't remember if it's abortion or I can't remember if it's homosexuality, but it was something that was a blatant sin. Amen. It was something. And he sat there and said, well, that's not my job to talk about sin. It's not my job to talk about these things. And I sat here and I listened to this, and there's people by the hundreds of thousands going to their churches. I'm like, Lord, what in the world's going on? We get 100 and I'm happy. You know what I mean? I mean, what do we got to do in order to get people into church? We got to compromise the gospel many times. Not every time. I'm not saying everywhere. So in other words, so when we stand, if you and I stand in front of people, amen, and he's saying these false prophets, how do I know? They strengthen the hands of sinners. In other words, they do not confront what is wrong, and therefore it strengthens the mindset in them thinking it's acceptable unto God. Are you with me? So that's how things have got. That's why today, that's why we're at today and throughout history, that things that are being accepted in the church today, that there's such a stronghold in it that when you confront somebody about it today, why? Because there's people that have stood in front of them and done one of two things. Either not addressed it at all, amen, or have said, well, God, that's the way God made you, that's the, or whatever, in order to strengthen the person's position in his own mind in the sin that they're living in. You see what I'm saying? And he says very, very clearly, he says, they also strengthen the hands of evildoers so that no one turns back from his wickedness. In other words, how do you know that? Because he says, how do you know that these prophets are false? Because he's not preaching a message that encourages people to turn from their wickedness. I'm telling you, if you are in a church, and I know y'all are not, but if you're in a church that you're going to, and the person that is behind the pulpit is not encouraging us to turn from sin, then it's not the gospel. Just that simple. Amen? All right, let's go on here. Let's jump down to to 15. Therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts concerning the prophets, behold, I will feed them with wormwood. In other words, he's going to give them what they want, bitterness. I will make them drink the water of gall. What is gall? Poison, venom. You think of gallbladder where bile is stored. For from the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone into all the land. And what is profaneness? Ungodliness. Amen. All right, let's jump down to verse 17. 16. Thus says the Lord of hosts, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you. They make you worthless. They speak a vision of their own heart. In other words, listen to me. That many of these people that come up and prophesy, it's a vision of their own heart. And why do they, and many times they'll speak to you what they want within themselves. Come on now. They'll speak their own desires to you. And it's a vision. Now, and you may agree with this, you may not agree with it, but I'm going to go with what the Word of God says. I've sat there and I've heard people speak the same word over you and over you and over you and over you, and it still be the same vain, vague, to where if you listen to it, you say, oh, yeah, it could apply to anybody. You know what? Oh, God's got increase coming your way. Hey, that thing that you've been concerned about, God's finna take care of it. What thing is it? What thing is it? Well, God didn't tell me that. No. What thing is it? Yeah. That's it. Increase coming to your life. Yeah, get a job. Increase coming to your life. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go on here. And it says, they speak visions from their own heart. In other words, empty promises. They speak these things from their own heart. And God's saying, it's not coming from my heart. It's coming from their own heart, their own wants, their own desires, their own ideas. And they may even mean well by it. They may even want to encourage you. But I'm telling you, if it ain't from God, false glory to God is no glory at all. And it's running rampant through the church back then. It was running rampant in the Old Testament back then. And the same spirit is walking amongst the people today doing the same thing today. Goes to show that thousands of years does not improve our IQ. Amen. We must have discernment by the Spirit of God. All right? And it says, they speak a vision of their own heart, not from the mouth of the Lord. They continually say to those who despise the Lord, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own hearts, they say, no evil shall become you. Now, this goes, now listen right here. This is the modern evangelism tool today. They shall continually tell you that you shall have peace. I've heard people walk up to people and start prophesying over them and say a word. The Lord says you're going to have peace. The Lord says you're finna step into some joy like you ain't. That's not what the Bible says, that the wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience. It says that you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of judgment. Now, the peace of God shall be upon those that know Christ. But how many of us have ever heard a person say, come on down here and allow God to fill that little hole in your heart and you're going to have more peace in you? That's the modern day tool of evangelism, which is not the right way according to Scripture. Now, we think it's the right way because that's what we've seen so many people do, and it's been beat into our mind that it's that way. Let me just read you a simple commentary here. It says, they continually say to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you shall have peace. And to everyone who walks according to the dictates of his own. Now, this is the Lord saying, this is wrong. This is the message of modern evangelism. A blasphemous world is told that God loves them and they can have peace with him by asking Jesus into their heart. That's not what the Bible says. So what do? They say, only thing I got to do is ask Jesus into my heart. So what do? They come down to the altar and ask Jesus into their heart, but they don't repent from sin because they've bought the lie. It says, if you ask Jesus into your heart, you're going to heaven. No teaching of repentance, no teaching of turning from sin, no teaching of that stuff. And that's the same thing as what he's saying here, that they tell them that you're going to have peace. We just say, if you ask Jesus into your heart. Why it don't happen. And I love this. It says, this is not the gospel. God's wrath abides on sinners, and the only way they can make peace with the holy God is to repent and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They must surrender to his will. The only way that you can make peace with Jesus Christ is I cannot say I've got Jesus Christ in my heart and not continually surrender to his will. We must surrender to his will. And what does it mean to surrender to his will? What we said earlier, his wishes that he wants you to live out. And to surrender to his will means, you know what? I get out of drunkenness. I get out of fornication. I get out of adultery. I repent. I turn from sin. When I recognize sin in my life, I cry out to God and I confess my sin, and he's faithful to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, that I turn from it. I desire to get away from it. Amen. Let's see what he says. And he says, no evil shall come upon them. Let's jump down to verse 21. He says, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not sent them. I've not sent these prophets. I've not sent these evangelists. I've not sent these pastors or teachers, but yet they're out doing it. I've not called them. And that's the biggest lie that we tell people. Somebody gets saved, and they'll walk down front, and somebody will say, oh, I see you standing before. You're called to reach the world. I see you standing before millions. You're called to reach the world. But he said, I ain't sent these people. But yet they run with it. They prophesy out of their own heart. They prophesy out of their own desires. I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood, if they had stood in my counsel, if they had stood in the counsel of God, if they had been in the Word of God, if they had studied the Word of God, if they had looked into the Word of God and had caused my people to hear my words, then they would have turned them from their evil ways and from their evil doings. Wow. He says, this is how you know. He said, if they listen to my counsel, if they listen to my word, if they listen to me, if they spent time with me, this is how you know I sent them. Because they will turn people away from their wicked ways. Turn on some of your TV preachers and see if you hear it. Turn on some of your TV preachers and see if you hear the word of God being broke down like this right here. You ain't going to hear it out of Houston down there. And I ain't attacking nobody, but it just is what it is. You ain't gonna hear it. I can't say out of all of them, there's some good ones on there also. But he says, this is how you know that a man that is truly sent by God is going to urge people, encourage people through the counsel and the word of God to turn from their sin and their wickedness. That's what the word says. All right? Can anyone, well, that's it. That's all I'm going to read out of that. Let's go down to 1 Corinthians. That help y'all any? Let's go to 1 Corinthians. We're on verse 2 now. I'm only doing 7 verses tonight, so it ain't going to take but a couple of hours. It says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, you know what I get out of this? This, as I was reading this scripture today, I'm just going to break this scripture down. How in the world do we get some are predestined to be saved and some are predestined to be lost? Let's just break this scripture down. Paul says that I am called to be an apostle. And I ain't saying this to pick on anybody. I ain't saying this to start a fight. But I am saying this in order to educate people. Are you with me? Okay. So now Paul says that I'm called. Now let's put verse 1 and 2 together. He says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sothenes, our brother. And then he says, who's he called to be an apostle to? All right. And he says, now called to be an apostle unto the church of God, which is at Corinth. Okay. Now, why was he called to be an apostle unto the church of God that was at Corinth? Well, the reason he was called to be an apostle to the church of God at Corinth is because when we go back to Acts chapter 18, verse 1, we see that Paul started the church in Corinth. All right? And let me read this to you. I'm going to read Acts 18, starting out in verse 1. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. I'm going to read through verse 11. I'm not going to expound. I'm just going to read it to back my point. And because he was of the same craft, in other words, this man was of the same craft as Paul, or Paul was as the same craft as this man, okay? He abode with them, in other words, Paul was of the same craft, and wrought. For their occupation, they were tent makers. In other words, Paul and this man were tent makers. They did the same thing, okay? And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment. Now listen to this. When they opposed themselves, in other words, rejected God's word, did not listen to God's word, would not listen to the council, would not listen. This was Paul, the apostle of grace, response. Look at this. Look at his response. He says, and they opposed themselves, not Paul, but they opposed themselves, in other words, separated themselves from the message of salvation by not listening. They was opposed. See, Paul was bringing them something good, and they was opposing not Paul, not Jesus, but themselves. So when people reject Jesus Christ, the message that you're bringing, they're opposing themselves. The Bible says that they hate themselves. They don't see themselves worthy of salvation, no matter what their argument is. All right, now look. And it says, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. Paul says, you know what? You ain't going to listen. He says, your blood be on your own hands, which is right out of the book of Ezekiel. He says, your blood, and what do you and I do if they oppose that? We want to sit there and argue with them for 6 weeks. We spend so much time chasing people that don't want nothing to do with Jesus Christ that we miss the ones that want him. Paul shook his raiment. In other words, shook the dust off, said, I'm done with you. I'm moving on. Amen. And he goes on and he says, and he departed thence, and let's see, verse 8. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. He says, you speak the word of God. You speak the truth of the word of God. And he said, don't hold back because you might upset somebody. Don't hold back because somebody might not like it. He said, do not hold your peace. He said, don't you worry about what's going to happen to you, because I got people in that city too, and I'm with you and I'll never leave you. He said, don't worry about it. Listen to what he says. He says, then spoke the Lord to Paul in a night by vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God. So this is why Paul had authority over the church of Corinth, because he started it. That was his baby. He birthed it. Y'all with me? Amen. So when we look at this, it says, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified. Now let's look at that word sanctified. Sanctified means dedicated to God. So who's he talking to here? He says, unto the church of Corinth and them that are sanctified. So those that are dedicated to God, those are people that are dedicated to God, serving God. Okay? So he says, here's what I'm doing. He says, I'm calling, and this is not limited to the church of Corinth. He says this because he's writing a letter to the church of Corinth. Amen? But he was over the Galatians, the Philippians. I mean, he was over many churches. Amen? And he says, but this is unto the church of God, the saints that are dedicated to God, people that are living for God, people that are serving God, people that are honoring God. Amen? But he doesn't stop there. He says, sanctified in Christ Jesus. In other words, sanctified in Christ, it is only Christ that sanctifies you and I. Amen. And what does sanctified mean? It means to be set apart for the use of something else. Set apart for the use of God. So what does it mean that we're sanctified in Christ? That it is the blood of Jesus and what he done at the cross of Calvary. When we put faith in that, then God sets us apart from a lost world to be a service unto him. Does that make sense? Okay. And he says here, it says called to be saints. What? So now he says those that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, but then he says called to be saints. And that word called means invited. It means invited. And this is what the word called means. By God in the proclamation of the gospel to obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom through Christ. That's what it means to be called. Called doesn't mean that you were called, Lorinda, and you was not, Sharon. Called is all, everybody, through the proclamation of the gospel, through the hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. That has been the invitation for us to inherit eternal salvation through what Jesus done at the cross of Calvary. That's what that means. And if you listen to anything else, it's not true. And if we sit back and say that's not a big deal, then we have a tremendous misunderstanding of the gospel. A tremendous and it'll creep in and destroy things. All right, let's look here. And it says, unto the church, them that are sanctified in Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place. What? Now let's look at the word all here. The word all means individually, each, every, any, the whole, everyone. So when you take that word, all means individually. And now look at this. All, it says individually. That doesn't mean that an individual person was called. Now listen, all means, it says individually, then it says each, every, any, everyone, all, everything. So what that means is each individual person has been called. Every individual person has been called. All individuals have been called. Everyone has been called. All people have been called. Each person is called individually, invited individually by the hearing of the gospel to receive eternal salvation through what Jesus Christ done at the cross of Calvary. Now, let's look at what the word every means. That word every, let's look here. That in every, you know what that word every means? It means the same as all. Exact same meaning. So in all, he's talking about people. But in every, he's talking about lands. Where the people live. I'm not saying that he's saying land is going to receive salvation. But when he says all people in every place, that means all individuals, all people in every place on earth he has called. Amen. So when we look at that in every place, that means places marked off. So somebody give me an example of what places marked off mean. Texas, okay, the city of Chico is marked off. The county of Wise is marked off. The state of Texas is marked off. The United States of America is marked off. The continent of the Americas are marked off. So he's saying every individual person in every single place, I've invited you to receive this gift of eternal salvation. You can't argue with that. I ain't going to say that. Thank you, Lord. I am hearing you. Sometimes the only thing I hear is shut up, but I'm hearing you. Amen? That in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, let's go on down here. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. Y'all got that? That Paul was called to not only the church of Corinth, but to the saints and to everyone everywhere that he could get to and would listen. Amen? All right. Let's go down to 1 Corinthians 3 and 4. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from who? God our Father and from the Lord. Peace only comes through Jesus Christ. And you know what? There's a lot of people in this world. And see, and this is what's wrong with much of the ministering the gospel today. I can go up to somebody, okay, I can walk up to somebody that has absolutely no understanding of the gospel. I mean, they know that Jesus is out there. They know that Jesus died on the cross and all that. And let me tell you, even the devil believes that Jesus died on the cross and rose the third day. Amen. So I can walk up to somebody. Let's say I walk up to Johnny here. I walk up to Carly here. And I say, and let's say Carly's a millionaire, multi-gabillionaire. Your house is paid for. Your vehicles are paid for. Your kids' college is paid for. You got money in the bank. You ain't ever going to have to work another day in your life. If you want to, you can just kick back by the pool, sipping on them little fruity drinks. And when you want to fly around the world, you can go jump on your private airplane, and you can just take off, and you can just go around the world. And then I walk up to Miss Carly, and I say, Carly, let me tell you something. If you just accept this Jesus Christ that I'm telling you about, you're going to have more joy and peace than you've ever had in your life. Well, Carly's pretty joyful and pretty peaceful. She ain't got to worry about the bills that you got to worry about. She ain't got to worry about how she's going to get another child, pay for a college education like you worried about. She ain't worried about how she's going to have to pay back all them student loans and everybody for the next 25 years. You know, peace, what do you mean peace? I don't have nothing to worry about. I don't have absolutely anything to worry about. Why do I have nothing to worry about? You know why? Because she's got it made. She's got everything that she needs, this world. That's why we don't tell people, we don't use joy and peace as the calling card to come to Christ. We must teach them that, you know what? That we must tell them about their sin and cause them to recognize that they have sinned against a perfect, just, righteous, and holy God, and that their sin has separated them from God, and that they will stand before God one day and on the judgment, amen, and they're going to find out then that their money and their airplanes and all of that stuff that they put their trust in is going to have absolutely no value at that time. We've got to cause them to recognize that they're not at peace with God. They may be at peace with this world, but they're not at peace with God because their sin has separated them from God. So when I tell somebody that doesn't have these things, or just somebody that, and I tell them that, then that's the wrong message. You're saying, well, why do I got to serve God? Well, I got joy, I got peace. So we actually give them the idea that they're probably already a Christian. So what are you going to say when they say that? You say, you accept this Jesus Christ I'm telling you about. You're going, man, I got, hey, I'm going to tell you, hey, Carly, I got more peace than you do. I'll tell you what. I ain't making no car payments. You having to work two or three jobs. Why don't you come do what I'm doing? Maybe you get a little bit of peace. You see what I'm saying? And that's how the gospel's presented today, though. That's how the gospel's presented. Y'all with me? And I'm not saying every instant, but many of them it is. I mean, we see people at the end of a TV show say, I'll tell you what, if you'll just ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, I believe that you'll be born again and saved, and your name will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come on down here and say this. Ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you're going to experience a joy and peace that you never had before. That's a lie. I'll tell you what, when I first got born again and saved, there was some stuff that had to be pruned off of me, and the Bible says that pruning time, and I'm still getting pruned. That pruning time ain't joyful. When I get corrected by God, the Bible says that those times of correction are not joyful. Now, my joy comes from Christ and knowing that I've been set free from the bondage of hell and the grave, amen? But I'll tell you what, sometimes in this old world, I still find some trouble. That's why we got to look up, draw nigh to Him. We got to look up. That's why we got to continue looking up. That's where our peace comes from, no matter what's going on, amen? It says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. True grace and peace only comes from God, which is distributed to man by what Jesus Christ done at the cross of Calvary. That's the only way that we have it. 1 Corinthians 1:5, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and all knowledge. Now, everything, what Paul is speaking of here, now, I believe that God wants us to prosper in everything. I do. I believe that. But before we grab that and say, see, right here, God wants us to prosper in everything, we got to look at what Paul says after this in order to grab the proper context of the Scripture. You see what I'm saying? So what Paul is talking about here is Paul is wanting us to increase in everything that pertains unto Jesus Christ and what he done for us. He's talking about the spiritual gifts here, okay? So let's look here. It says, Paul, let's see, that in everything, and that word everything, Paul is speaking of everything in Christ. He says, in everything that you be enriched, what does it mean? He's talking about spiritual enrichment, that we grow, just like if we compare it to money, the more you work and the more money you save, the more money you have. Paul is saying here that I want you to grow in knowledge and I want you to grow in the utterance of the gifts of the Spirit. The more time we spend with God, the more time we spend studying the Word of God, the more spiritual bank deposits I'm looking for we have, the more we have to draw from. Just like the more money you put in the bank, the more you have to draw from, right? The more time we spend with God, the more we have to draw from in those times of trouble, in those times of need. Amen? So he's saying right here, he's saying, in everything be enriched by him. By who? By Christ. Amen? In all utterance. Now, when we look at this, God wants us, now Paul is telling us what he wants us to be enriched in. So he goes along here and he's saying that in everything you be enriched by him, by Christ, by what Jesus done at the cross, and by his Spirit. So when we look at this, God wants us to be enriched in, what did Paul say? Utterance. And what does that word utterance mean? It means of speech or word. In other words, Paul wants us to be enriched to where we're being able to give godly advice, to where we're able to minister the gospel at the right time. And the only, listen, people come to me all the time and they say, well, Kevin, I just don't know what to say. I just don't know what to do. And people think I'm rude when I say this, and please don't take this the wrong way. Please, please, please don't. But here's what I know. I know if I spend time putting money in the bank, I'm going to be able to get that money out. And I know that if I spend time in God's Word, studying God's Word, that he gave me his promise that said rivers of living water will flow from out of my bosom, and I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say when I'm in front of the magistrates, for the Holy Spirit will speak with me. Or not with me, but through me. So I tell people, if you will spend time in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and then practice ministering the Word of God to people, you're going to find that these things are going to start just bubbling up out of your bosom. It cannot not happen, because Jesus said it would. And he's not a liar, and he's bound by his Word. So Christ wants us, Paul wants us, to be enriched in speech of word uttered by living voice. In other words, he says, I want you to be enriched by living voice. That living voice is not Buddha. That living voice is not Allah. That living voice is not Christian Scientology. That living voice is not universalism. That living voice is not Hollywood. That living voice, there's only one that gives life. And how did he speak life into the existence? He spoke it all the way back into creation, and the only words that you and I have that have any life in them are the words that are spoken by God that comes across our lips under the anointing and the power of the Holy Ghost. That is it. He said, I don't want you to just speak words. I want you to speak living words. Living words. And the only way that we can do that is according to God's Word. Amen. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. The Word of God says, the Word of God is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen? So when we look at this, God uttered by a living voice, it embodies a conception or an idea of what someone has said. This is what utterance means, that it embodies an idea or a conception of what somebody has said. So when we look at the Word of God, and when we read the Word of God, and we spend time in the Word of God, then we embody those things. We embody those teachings. We embody those morals. We embody those qualities. We embody that character. We embody Christ. But if we're not going to be enriched in that utterance. Are y'all with me? Man, I'm enjoying this tonight. It says, and said what someone has said, and who is the someone? God. Who is the someone? The Holy Spirit. The Bible says that all scripture was given by the inspiration of who? God. Amen. It says the same, it says the conception or idea what somebody has said, the sayings of God, of the moral precepts given by God, a continuous speaking. So this is, God wants us to be in, he wants us to embody who he is and live it out. And the only way that we can do that is by gaining knowledge. What is his next word he says? Utterance and what? All knowledge. And that word, enriched in utterance. And when God wants, now, and also check this out. When God wants us to be enriched in all utterance, what is he talking about there? Utterance. See, there's many people out there that don't believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? They've not been enriched in that. They've spent time trying to prove it wrong instead of trying to understand God. See, God, see, all utterance. Now, what does the Bible say that when the Holy Spirit come upon them, what did he give them? Utterance. All right, now let's look here. Enriched in all utterance. Now, what does this mean? This doesn't, he wants us to be enriched in all utterance of the vocal gifts of prophecy, tongues, interpretation, teaching, preaching, etc. God wants us to be enriched in the utterance of tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy. And I'm not saying that everybody is going to speak in tongues. I'm not saying that everybody's going to give the interpretation of tongues. But God wants us all in his body to be enriched so that his body is not handicapped. You see what I'm saying? So that when the body comes together, and that's what I'm praying for in this church, the fivefold ministry and the gifts and those things, so that when the body comes together, God, see, listen, the way, see, if I'm missing an arm and a leg, I'm not enriched, and when I say that physically, to perform my duties at 100% because I'm disabled, because I'm missing an arm and I'm missing a leg. You see what I'm saying? And that's what God is saying. He wants us to be enriched in all utterance. And what? He's saying, listen, I don't want nothing missing when my body comes together. He says, I want you to be enriched in all utterance. I want you to be enriched in tongues. I want you to be enriched in interpretation of tongues. I want you to be enriched in prophecy and teaching and preaching. I want you to be enriched. Why? Because I do not want my body to be handicapped. And each person will have one, two, many, few, or all of the gifts in order to assure the completeness of his body. It's here. It's here tonight. But what has happened is people have not spent enough time in the Word of God gaining knowledge in the utterance of God and what he would have them to do. So what happens is we sit out there and the people in the body will say, well, where's the Spirit of God moving in that church? Why ain't it moving? Because you're not. I'm moving in the Spirit of God. I'm up here preaching. There's times I'm up here, when I start preaching, there's very few people that recognize when I start prophesying because that's how dead they are to the Word. When I start prophesying, I'll see Sharon stand up. Boom, it ignites with her spirit right then. She can identify it that quick. And I'm not saying other people don't, but she lets me know that she knows when I'm prophesying. And so many times today, the body looks at that and we miss the gifts and the blessings of God that he's put within the body because we're so numb to it and we're so dull to it, we don't even recognize it when it moves. And you'll never be able to give glory to God for something that you don't recognize is God. So that's what happened. So we got people in the body of Christ out there all throughout the world that are not growing in the knowledge of utterance and the understanding of the things of God. And they're sitting back going, why ain't the Spirit moving to that preacher? You wouldn't recognize it if it was. I'm not saying y'all, but many people. There's times I'm up here preaching, and right now, this is not what I prepared to say. This is the Spirit of God. Amen. It's like I go to Shemaine all the time. We'll be at the gym. And I'm not saying I'm in great physical shape, the best shape there is, but I'm better than where I was. Amen. I'm getting somewhere. But I go to Shemaine. She's a trainer. I do know some things about working out. And I'll go to Shemaine. I'll say, Shemaine, y'all better help that guy down there. He's about to blow his back in half. Will I not? Because I've got some knowledge about some things. I can recognize some things. But to a person that has no knowledge, lifting weights ain't nothing more than just going through a bunch of movements. And it ain't about movements. It's about form and posture in the midst of the movement. And that's like serving God. We think that serving God is going through a bunch of motions, but it's about the form and the posture and the character that we uphold and to keep from being injured. Y'all with me so far? So enriched in all utterance. Paul wants us to, the Holy Spirit through Paul wants us to be enriched in vocal gifts, in prophecy, tongues, interpretation, teaching, and preaching. This should enrich us. It should grow us. It should grow. And if you sit there and say, under this preaching tonight, under this, if you say, I didn't get nothing out of that, it's because you're not allowing yourself to be enriched. Listen, if I was to come to you, Lorinda, Sharon, whoever it is, if I give you a paycheck, if I give you that paycheck, what are you going to do with it? But what are you going to do first before you can spend it? You're going to go to the bank and cash it, aren't you? You're going to go to the bank and cash it because that check does you no good until you go cash it. And to go cash it, it's going to cost you some extra fuel. It's going to cost you some extra time. It's going to cost you filling out a deposit slip or whatever it is. It's going to cost you even maybe having to go out of your way a little bit. And that's how the Word of God is. Tonight, your soul is being enriched. I am giving you some things from the Spirit of God. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go home and study it out and read it out and allow these things to start getting inside of you? You're just going to take that check and shut it in your Bible and never cash on it. Never go and get what it has for you. Amen. So, enriched in all utterance, vocal gifts of prophecy, tongues, interpretation, teaching, preaching. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, just right down here, verse 1:7, look. He says, listen, it says, in verse 5, it says that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterance and all knowledge. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come short in no gift. He's talking to the church of Corinth and he's saying, I don't want you to be short in any gift. He's saying that to U-Turn World Ministries Church in Chico, Texas. He's saying, listen to me. I want you to grow in utterance. I want you to grow in knowledge of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you're not behind in any of the gifts. Wow. Man, if we just had a hunger for God and to see him move. And I think one of the biggest things in the church today is we've got built up about wanting to hear awesome praise. Oh, I want to go hear some awesome praise and worship. I want to go hear some awesome preaching. I want to see God move. That's what I want to see. That's what I want to see. I want to see God moving. I want to see y'all in a study of the Word and getting revelation of the Word of God. I want to see God moving in y'all, in me. I want to see God moving. I've heard a bunch of good sermons. We got one of the most awesome praise and worship bands there is. But you know what? Praise God for it. We got one of the most awesome praise and worship bands. I think y'all got one of the most awesome preachers in the world. But I want to see God move. Man, do y'all have a hunger for that? Because if you did, it would start happening.
if we would get together and say, you know what, we want to see God moving. And when I say, and don't take it the wrong way, I know sometimes when I come across, I say things and it don't sound the same. And I don't mean that domineering. I don't mean that condemning. I don't mean that. But if we would all come together like Paul is saying, and we would all come in, and we would have a hunger and a thirst for the things of God. And I'm not saying people don't. I don't know what you do on your own time. I really don't know. But I Lord, help me to explain this. I'm throwing dirt on myself here. What I'm saying is that we come to church for a good message. We come to church for good preaching. We come to church for good fellowship. But man, I want to start coming to church to see God move. Man, expecting. If we all start praying that, he's going to hear it. Amen. I don't want a bunch of emotional movement. I don't want to, man, I want God to move. I don't want a bunch of built up excitement, man-made. You know what I mean? I mean, I like excitement. I want to be excited about God. I want to be excited about those things. I hope I'm explaining this right. I want the excitement to be because of God, not because a message was good or yeah, and thank God for that, or the praise and worship was good, but because through the good praise and worship and through the good message, God moved, and that's why we're excited. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that the right way? I hope I am, and I don't mean to sound like I'm condemning anybody. I'm talking about myself too. Amen. All right, I'll go on here and we'll finish up. Come on up, Jacoby. So he's saying God wants us to enrich. God wants us to be enriched in knowledge. Knowledge signifies general intelligence, understanding, and general knowledge of the Christian religion. So God is saying, I want you to grow, be enriched in knowledge of how to live for him. I mean, of the Christian, for the lack of a better word, it's a bad word nowadays, religion. Amen. So now let me go on. So, and it says in verse 6, it says, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. What is testimony? This is what Paul is saying. Testimony is the evidence. See, I stand here before you as the evidence of God. Shauna, you stand here today as the evidence of God. And I'm not saying because my testimony's better than anybody else. People that have never been on drugs and never been on alcohol, they're a testimony. See, it's the same grace that kept them out as it is that got me out. Wow. You with me on that? So that's why people, and people really don't understand this. Sharon, I don't think you've ever been a drug addict, have you? Okay? But to me, when I hear somebody grow up through life and they go through the things that they've gone through, and they said, I never drank, I never did drugs, I'm sitting there going, wow, really? And I'm not meaning it in a way. But to me, I'm like, wow, that's a miracle. See, to me, somebody never doing it is a bigger miracle than me coming out of it. So don't ever think your testimony ain't worth it. Because an old drug addict, alcoholic like me, I'm going, wow, that's a miracle. And people are like, what? My testimony's so boring. No. Because I thought everybody did drugs back when I was doing drugs. It's a miracle. My daughter, first 3 years of her life, I was so high, and she don't have no recollection of it. She's got some recollection of us being sanctified and going through the process and learning some, work some things out, and some fights between me and her mom and some arguments and all of that. But and things that she's never going to have to go through, but she didn't come from where I come from. I thank God. And sometimes we'll look at an old preacher like me. You're like, well, how in the world is that old man? I've seen him. He can lose his temper. I've seen him get mad. I'm going to tell you something. Thank God that's not you, because you don't know what I come through to get to where I'm at today. And you may not see my progress, but I've come a long way. I've had a few more bumps in the road than you may have had. Had a few more hits in the head. Had a few more needles in my arm and a few more bottles of whiskey. Had a few more times in jail. Had a few more broken hearts. Didn't have people standing around me that was saying, hey, you see my life. Don't go down this road. Amen. Even when it was good. Because even when my life got good, there were still a lot of things that had to be worked out. And still things that are having to be worked out of my life today because of the first 30 years, the way I lived my life the first 30 years. That my daughter would never have to see or go through. I know sometimes she might look at me and go, Dad, how can you be a Christian? How can you be a man of God? I don't care if she asks me that. I don't care. As long as she don't have to come out of what I was in to get where I'm at today. Amen. Because some of us come from a lot deeper part of the cave than other people. Amen. There's just things. I've seen some dark things. I've seen some bad things happen in my life. Bad things. Bad things. But still today I think about. I've been involved in bad things. But still today I think about. Still today I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about. And y'all have heard some pretty intense parts of my testimony, but y'all ain't heard the most of it. Sharon said this the other day, she was just joking, but I believe it was a word of God. She goes, we ain't heard all the skeletons in your closet. And I said, no, ma'am, you haven't. And many of them nobody will hear about. I was speaking at a college deal just here a while back, and they were there, and she goes, my goodness, I didn't know that was part of your testimony. And my kids know a lot, but there's some things I don't share just because my kids are here. Your kids are here. And you might be like, well, Kevin, what in the world can you hold them back on after we've heard what you've done? Believe me. But I look back, those old battle scars and those things, and I know I still mess up. I know I still screw up. But, man, I'll tell you what. I had a preacher tell me one time, she said, she prophesied, a lady prophetess, and she spoke over me one time, and she said, Kevin, the barriers in your life that you see as holdbacks are going to be nothing more than obstacles of where God has brought you from. And I look back on my life, and I see some obstacles that would have killed people, had people locked up for the rest of their life in prison, wife would have left them, all of those things. And I look back and I see those as nothing more than hurdles that God gave me the ability to get over. And there's some of you in here got some of those same stories. We stand here today, ought to be dead, ought to be locked up, Lorinda, for the rest of our lives. But you know what? I lift my hand to God upstairs because I am a living trophy of His amazing grace. Amen. I am. All right, I'm going to hurry. Y'all getting anything out of this tonight? Even the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Paul is saying the testimony, the evidence confirmed in you. What Christ, see, the testimony, the evidence of Christ has been confirmed in me. It's been confirmed in you by what God has done. Amen. And that confirmation is that that's what established Paul's testimony. In other words, Paul's saying the testimony of God has been confirmed. It's been established in you. Hold on, Church of Corinth. This is how you know the testimony of Christ is true. Look what it's done in you. Look what it's done in you. Look what it's done in you, Shauna. Look what it's done in you, Lorinda. Look what it's done in you, Bailey. You may have never come through the things that your father come through, but look what it's done in you. It kept you from going through all those things. It's confirmed. The evidence of Christ in Paul was confirmed through the miracles that Paul done. Romans 15, 18 and 19, Paul said this, for I will not venture to speak of anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles to obedience by word and deed. I ain't going to talk about nothing but what Christ has done. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Ilrechia, I can't even say it. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. In Acts 15:12, Paul is using what Christ has done through him as a testimony to confirm that he is sent by God. That's why he's telling them, he's saying, for I will not venture to speak anything except what Christ has accomplished through me to bring the Gentiles through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit. Acts 15:12, then all the multitude kept silent and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. And God, Acts 19:11 through 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs and aprons, and the disease departed from them. Well, let me reread that. So that from his body were brought unto the sick
handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. 1 Corinthians 1:7 says, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord. Come behind in no gift. The gospel was fully preached and confirmed. Verse 6, so that believers come behind in no gifts of the Holy Spirit and the other promises given to us through what Jesus done at the cross of Calvary. That's 1 Corinthians 1 through 7. Amen. Let's stand up. I'm done tonight. Did y'all get anything out of this? So Paul teaches us right here that he's called to be the apostle of the church of Corinth. Why? Because he takes us back to where he started that church in Acts chapter 18. And since he started that church, in other words, Paul's saying, I got authority to speak into your life. And that's the same way today. I tell people, if I done your marriage, if I done your marriage wedding, I got the authority to speak into your life. If you come to this church and you call me pastor, you have given me the authority to speak into your life. But many people won't submit to that authority. And that's why things don't change. You know, we've got in today's society to where everything's so soft-spoken that when a man that has an authoritative voice that God gives him, we see it as something bad. Because we want to be, that's one of the things that when I'm listening to music that just drives me crazy. You know, everybody sounds the same. They all got that whispering in, sing. I don't want to hear a bunch of na 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 sing on the radio. You see, change it. Well, Dad, it's Christian music. I still don't like it. So I got one song Brady does. What is it? This is how I fight my battles. This is how he fights my. I like that song when Brady does it because Brady got a man's voice. But when I hear it on the radio, this is how I fight my battles. I'm like, you ain't got a voice that needs to be fighting anything. This is how I fight my battles. Man up and sing it. I know that sounds bad, but that's just the way I am. When I think of fighting battles, I don't see it somebody going, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight them. I'll say somebody standing up here, this is how I fight my battles. Yeah. Listen to a song the other day, a woman singing, and what was that song, Bailey? That song about, they talk about being put in the lion's den and God, my God fights for me. Anybody heard that song? Man, awesome song, go check it out. It's I don't know, 3 or 4 different people singing it. But all of a sudden, man, the song starts, and it's just a man singing. Then all of a sudden, the music starts in. And the other day, I was going down the road with Bethany, and I was like, change that song. Not that song. That was the song for us. I said, change the song. She goes, what? I said, I just want somebody to sing from who they are, you know, what they are and what God has done. It. You know what I mean? I can't explain it, but I know it when I hear it. You know what I mean? Man, I heard that song. She's like, well, Dad? That guy doesn't sound like he's real strong or something like that. And I said, yeah, but listen to the music. It sounds like they're marching. They're going into battle. I mean, they're just the music's just. They're going into battle. Going into battle. Yeah, and I just got this picture in my mind of people, of Daniel being lowered down into that lion's den. And even when it talks about the woman that went into the room with the alabaster flask and poured it on the feet of Jesus and everybody. But you know what? The music, and it's with a sense of authority and a sense of anointing that they're going into battle. And there's just something different about it. The voices may be, it's the anointing. That's what it is. I was listening to a radio show one day, and they was asking a guy, and I like Michael W. Smith. Michael W. Smith is the one that sings that song, This Is How I Fight My Battles. And I like a ton of his music. Don't like that song, but I like a ton of his music. Amen. And they were asking people one day, they said, well, what makes the difference in music? And they were saying, well, the lyrics or what. And I'm sitting there and I'm yelling at the radio going, the anointing.
the anointing. And they're going, music, they're going, the lyrics, they're going, well, the heart that you have, where you come from. I'm like, no, it's the anointing that makes the difference. I can be listening to a song on the radio, and I can hear a good song on the radio. You're going down the road, whoop, whoop. Yeah, that's good. But when one comes on that's anointed, pow. Yeah. All right. Yeah. God wants us to come behind in no gift. Amen. No gift. Father, I believe I preached exactly what you laid on my heart tonight. Lord, I believe it's a good message because it came out of your word. And Lord God, I believe that the people are here tonight receive something. Father God, I thank you for it. I bless you in the name of Jesus. And I bless these people. That, Lord, your face shine upon them. That, Lord, every need be met. Their children, their grandchildren, their family be blessed. Those around them that don't know you, Lord, I ask that you draw them by your Spirit. Pray, Father God, that you put the right words at the right time in their mouth and they speak the wisdom of God with boldness and authority that no man can stand against. And we give you the glory and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank y'all for coming out tonight, and we will see y'all. Oh, yes, if you'll bring the offering bucket down, Randy. If y'all take just a little bit more time and write out them big old $1,000 checks that everybody's got, and if you'll bring it on by here, even if it's a hot check for $1,000, we'll take it. Amen. We'll call you. We'll let you pay it out. Amen. we'll let you put a payment plan on it. Amen. But bring it on down here. Drop it in the bucket. If it's a check, make it out to UTWM. If it's cash, just there's an envelope in the seat in front of you. God bless y'all and thank y'all. Yeah, oops.
and death could not hold you down. For you are the risen King, seated in majesty. You are the risen King.
Doing, Coop?